We have breaking news. President Trump just moments ago put out on Truth Social that he is meeting in the Situation Room too. As he said here at the bottom of the screen, we'll roll down and see. I will be meeting now in the Situation Room to make a final determination of what is going to happen with the Iran war. You know, he's been saying for quite a long time that we've had a deal that we've been talking since, I think, a week ago, last Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, when he says we have largely agreed to this deal. We'll be announcing the details soon. Now, here we are about a week later. There still has been no details, a lot of conflicting information, which we're going to get to in a minute. But now President Trump is claiming that he is in the Situation Room to make a final determination. Now, one can only imagine, he didn't specify, but the implication being that it's either going to be a negotiated deal on the terms he laid out in that Truth Social, or he's going to be returning back to military operations. That's the implication being it. I don't know what else a final determination is going to be, unless he's been watching our show and says, you know what, I've calculated that the best thing is to do the walkaway plan. And so if Iran doesn't agree to my negotiated terms, we'll just walk away. That would be better than doing the insane and catastrophic and self-destructive going back to military terms and listening to all the war hawks who are begging him for that, not the least of which are in Tel Aviv, Israel. But let's get to what he said here, because this is really, really important, and it kind of illustrates a couple of big things that we're going to talk about in this show today, and that is trust, number one. If you don't have trust, it's some modicum of trust, even if you hate your, you know, painful enemy, you still have to have some level of trust if you want a negotiated outcome, because the other side has to believe that you'll do what you say so that they'll give you what you want, and that you have to have trust that they'll do what they say. If there is not at least a modicum of trust, then there is no foundation for any kind of a negotiated settlement. Now, Iran is all the time in Western media accused of always breaking their word, never doing what they say. Well, the actual record is mixed on that. There have been some things they have not done, but there have been a whole slew of things that they have done. And when they had been, especially during the JCPOA period, when it was identified and they were exposed to things they weren't doing, then they brought them into compliance. So they have some degree there. So there is some modicum of trust on that side that they'll do what they say, especially as long as we have some motivation for them to keep doing it. The question is there any trust on our side of the ledger so that Iran can agree to the terms that President Trump wants? That is the operative thing here. Let's take a look at some of the details here from this Truth Social. President Trump starts off by saying Iran must agree that they will never have a nuclear weapon or bomb, which is obvious because they have always said that. They have never said anything beside that. So check, that's done. The Hormuz Strait must be immediately open, no tolls or for unrestricted shipping in both directions. All water mines, bombs, if any, will be terminated. This goes into a lot of details about the mines. Then we roll down to the bottom part here. Then he says that the so-called nuclear dust reprocessed material is going to have to be unearthed by the United States, which it is agreed is the only country, along with China, with mechanical capability of doing so in close coordination and conjunction with the Islamic Republic of Iran, plus the Atomic Energy Agency, and destroyed. No money will be exchanged until further notice. Other items of far less importance have been agreed to. So here's President Trump there, just right off the bat, saying, listen, we have, in close coordination with Iran, agreed to all these things, some lesser issues and some more important issues. And he keeps talking about how they're going to do with the nuclear dust, with opening the Strait of Hormuz, no tolls, no fees, just completely open. And that there, he said some other issues. Probably he's talking about support for the proxies, the long-range missiles, the Lebanon issue, which are far from minor issues, but he just relegates those to the side. But even the ones that he mentions there are very, very different than what the Iranian side has been saying even in the past week or so. Now, Jeremy Scahill, just moments ago, published this on X, where he's talking about that the Iranian side had suspected something like this would happen. I think he posted something on this partially last night, and then again today. He said, this is what an Iranian official, this is 11:20, so literally just minutes ago. This is what an Iranian official told me last night, anticipating Trump would be making such an announcement like the one he just made on Truth Social. Iran has also warned Trump would likely mischaracterize the private agreement terms to promote his victory narrative. And from last night, he was talking about, Iranian official tells me that Iran's perspective, there is a final draft of an MOU with the U.S., but Iran has zero trust. There is that word we're going to use again, in trust, or the U.S. word, and can't rule out the chance of more U.S.-Israeli strikes. Therefore, Iran is proceeding cautiously on any official announcement. And listen, let's get into this whole issue. We're gonna show you in a minute. Actually, no, let me do it right now because it really highlights. So you just saw what President Trump has said here. You know, this issue that they're gonna have a nuclear weapon. Strait of Hormuz must be immediately open, no tolls, unrestricted shipping. That the nuclear dust has to be destroyed with the United States doing it, and no money will be agreed to. Those three things. Remember those. Let me show you something that Professor Mirandi, who was part of the first delegation, the Iranian delegation at the negotiations with the United States, so he's very well tied in with what the official government points are. He told me just a few days ago that there are four non-negotiables that Iran must have in order to have a negotiated settlement. See how that lines up with what I just told you from Trump's Truth Social. From the Iranian perspective, for this war to come to an end and for the dueling blockades to leave and to have any chance of a resumption of the flow of oil to even approximate what it was before this war started, Iran's going to have unfrozen assets that's their money freed up.
The sanctions have to be waived for the energy sector, not all okay. Sanctions, just the
Got
energy
it.
Sector.
Okay, so the sanctions on the energy sector, an end of war negotiated terms of some sort, some kind of an agreement on that, and a stoppage of the war in Hezbollah, against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. So if all four of those things happen, then the Iranian side will agree to. But, and let me not mischaracterize, if any of those four things don't happen, then there won't be an end. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's right. And of course, the siege on the Strait of Hormuz, I'm not sure if you said that or not. But yes, you're absolutely correct.
So there you have it, that the Iranians will maintain the control of the Strait of Hormuz, that there will be money from their frozen assets, Iranian money will be released up front, and that the sanctions on the energy sector will be released up front. Those are some of the key things. And when he says the ceasefire, he went on to explain that the war has to come to an end. That was specifically talking about Lebanon. And of course, Israeli press this morning is talking about how the Israelis are saying, and not saying, they have pushed even beyond the Latani River, which used to be the northernmost limit of advance. Now they are pushing beyond that, which seems to be a direct affront to President Trump. Any idea? Everybody knows it's very clearly articulated by the Iranian side that the war against Lebanon must come to an end as part of an agreement here. It's one and the same. And so the Iranian side, the Israeli side, is clearly not wanting that to happen. So they are pushing even deeper into Lebanon, which is very similar to what they did when Trump first announced on, I think it was the 7th or 8th of April, the ceasefire from the first 40 some odd days of war, which was also had to include Lebanon, and Israel hit Lebanon with the biggest strike in its history that morning. So this is something that Israel has done before. All of that goes to say, where is there any trust that President Trump will agree, will accomplish and conduct anything that he says? That this is absolutely crucial. This is not a minor issue, folks. If the other side doesn't have any confidence that whatever terms could be agreed to in a memorandum of understanding, even that, forget about the actual end of war negotiation, which even according to these renderings would be 60 some odd days later, where all the hard issues would be met. But if you can't have a modicum of trust, you can't even have a memorandum go into effect if the other side doesn't believe they're going to abide by it. Now, let's just take a look at this. Of course, as we talk about a lot on the show, there's probably the biggest issues was during the 2025 war when we were in the middle of negotiations. We said we were trying to find a way out, and then we bombed them. And then during this war, we're three sessions in. The third session proved out a foundation for a tremendous deal for the Trump administration, better than the Obama, et cetera, and then we bombed them again. So if we only talked about those two things, then they would already be saying, where is the basis for any trust? But that's not the end of the story. I'm going to show you here just a compilation of a number of things. Now, I'm sorry, this may be pretty small on some of your screens here. I'll read it out loud here, but this just shows you this is a limited number. This is definitely not all of the time President Trump has said since the war started, various statements on what he was going to do or what represented reality. First of all, on March 1st, so basically the second day of the war, he declared, "We've already won, but I want to win by a bigger margin." On the 7th of March, the war is actually a minor excursion because remember, there was a lot of thought that he's going to be able to win this war in 3 or 4 days because of the decapitation, because of this crushing of everything else. He thought it was going to be something like the Maduro deal. So he thought 3 or 4 days, we're going to win it. Now here on the 7th, we're on the day 8 of the war. And he said, well, that's just a minor excursion. And then they ran into issue that it turned out, well, it's actually not a war because, well, that's got 1973 War Powers Resolution's requirements on top of it. So actually, this isn't a war. It's just an excursion. On the 11th of March, President Trump said the U.S. won the war in Iran in the, quote, first hour on the 11th of March. On the 12th of March, there's nothing left to target, Trump said, so it's basically already won. On the 17th of March, war was over in 2 or 3 days. So first it was the first hour, now it was in 2 or 3 days. On the 18th day of the war, he said again it was already won. On the 20th of March, oh, I think we won, 3 days later. On the 24th of March, we won this war, he told reporters. This war has been won. Let me take a pause in a moment here. These things, we're talking at the moment about whether we can have a negotiated settlement with Iran. But listen, folks, the primary target of deception in these is you. This is in American press. This is what President Trump is trying to convince the people that what they see with their eyes is not actually real. Listen to the words coming out of his mouth and looking at the reading the words off of his Truth Social. That's where you need to put your trust, not in what's real or what you can see, touch, and observe. But you're the target of this deception. Understand that. We continue on. On the 7th of April, that's when he announced the ceasefire. So, all right, so we're going to do a 2-week ceasefire, and then everything is going to be good to go. We're going to come to a negotiated settlement. Then a week later, on the 15th of April, he said the war will be over very soon. On the 17th of April, on Truth Social, he said, on Truth Social, he wrote, just announced that the Strait of Iran is fully open and ready for full passage. Remember that? We spent a lot of time on that on the show at that time. And there was supposed to be a joint agreement that we're going to have, that the 2-week ceasefire was going to be expanded into a longer term, and that both the dueling blockades were going to be lifted. So nearly simultaneously, the Iranian side through, I think it was Abbas Araghchi, said, yes, the strait is now fully open. And then Trump followed that up shortly on Truth Social by saying, yep, it's fully open, but he also added our blockade will remain. The Iranian side blockade is completely open. So whatever was agreed to behind the scenes that they were both supposed to jointly announce that the blockades had been lifted and that they were going to negotiate while the flow of oil could go out, Trump undercut it, pulled the rug out from under it, and said, no, it's not. And then, of course, Iran hours later says, then neither is ours, since you didn't listen to your words. So that is crucial. So President Trump is not just lying to you. He's also lying to our adversaries and deepening the mistrust that there is. And again, don't miss this, friends. If you want your enemy, somebody that you hate, somebody that you're at war with, if you want them to stop doing things that are harmful to you, i.e. controlling the Strait of Hormuz and blocking the oil, blocking the fertilizer, the helium, the aluminum, sulfur, all kinds of things that we need to get out, natural gas, they have to believe that you'll do what you say. Otherwise, we have what we have right now. They're not listening to you. They're not believing you. And they're keeping that thing closed to our harm. That's where this is going. I continue on. On the 1st of May, Trump told Congress that hostilities had been terminated. So basically, war's over. Everything's good to go. But it wasn't. That didn't happen. The war wasn't open. He just claimed it, but nothing happened. On May 23rd, Trump announced that an agreement with Iran had been largely negotiated. So here he's telling everybody again, with Iran, we have largely agreed with everything. Terms will be coming out later today, he subsequently said. Obviously, they didn't. That was on the 23rd. This is the 29th, 6 days later. Where are the terms? Where is anything from the Iranian side? The Iranian side has consistently said, I don't know what he's talking about. Here's our terms. And that's very different from the terms he said in the past or what I just showed you moments ago. Then we get down to May 24th. Trump said the U.S. was close to finalizing a memorandum of understanding to permanently end the war and reopen the straits. Close to finalizing an MOU. Have we been close to finalizing an MOU? What do you think the Iranians are saying today? Now, if what President said was true on the 24th of May, if what President Trump said was true about 2 hours ago, I think it was actually less than 10:51. Yeah, sorry, it was 1 hour ago. If what President Trump said was 1 hour ago, we should expect that the Iranian side would be saying something close to the same thing. And that very soon, the dueling blockades would be opened. The flow of oil, natural gas, and other derivatives would be fine, and we would start the process of unwinding all this damage. Let me show you what they are saying, however. This is Iran's statement today, who is their the speaker of their parliament and their chief negotiator. We seized concessions, not through dialogue, but with missiles. In negotiations, we merely make them understand. We have no trust in guarantees or words. Only actions are the measure. No action will be taken before the other side acts. And what he's talking about there is because of the embarrassment that they had the last time when Abbas Araghchi released that statement about the strait being open when Trump undercut it. This time they said, that's not going to happen anymore. We're not going to take any action until the other side acts. That also is referring to the money, because they've said, Professor Mirandi said it on our show, they have said it at the government level. We will get money released from the frozen funds first. Now, remember, I've been showing you, Trump has been undercutting himself by repeatedly having these childish things on his Truth Social to where he shows all this Obama with all this cash going to Iran, and he has constantly mocked the former president and saying, oh, yeah, he just gave this cash to Iran and all this kind of stuff, saying, I'm not going to do that in this Truth Social. I think that he actually said that again here. He said that there won't be any cash, if I'm not mistaken. No cash will be exchanged. Okay, then you don't have a deal. Because the other side says, because we can't trust you, and you see the Ghalibaf is saying it right here, no action will be taken until the other side acts. So until they see those funds lifted, and people are talking about $24 billion. Let's be clear on the scale here. Because as I understand it, I think the number was $1.7 billion that President Obama released. Again, he didn't give them anything. He released their funds that already belonged to them. So let's be honest about that, too, because President Trump isn't. He always lies and says, and all of his supporters also lie and say, we, quote, gave them cash. We did not. We allowed them to have access to their own money that was always there. Well, now then, that's the same thing that they're requiring here. We're going to get access to our own money, and you're going to release some of these. And I don't know what the number is. I think I've heard somewhere between $10 and $12 billion that they're going to require about half of it. So they say, unless we get half of it, we're not going to do anything. And they're going to have, as Professor Mirandi said on our show 3 days ago, the sanctions relief on the energy infrastructure up front. Those sanctions have to be waived first. Then they will reciprocate. So that's where we are right now from what the Iranian side is saying. So I just showed you here that they are very, very adamant about this. They say we have no trust in the words and won't take any action before other sides. Then he adds this third point here. The winner of any agreement is the one who is better prepared for war from the day after. So they are clearly communicating that we would love this to be solved diplomatically. We're willing to do so as we have been in the past. But because the rug has been pulled out from under us in the past, because you have lied to us during negotiations and struck us militarily in the process of doing it, we're not going to do anything further until we get something first. And if we don't get it first, we're prepared, as Moshe Razai, who is the senior military advisor to the Supreme Leader, also said today, if the naval blockade continues beyond a certain time frame, we will break it and force America to end it through negotiation or, in case of resistance, through direct action. So they are literally stepping this up. Now then they're saying, hey, you either come up with some actions first and build some trust, and the Iranian side is willing to go down that path, or we're going to be prepared for military. And unlike what Ghalibaf has said, we're going to be prepared for war. But Moshe Razai, he says we're going to be prepared to take offensive action. Now, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is happening right now as we're talking in the Situation Room in the White House? What I hope is happening is that there are plenty of people there, senior ranking military, that is telling people there is no military solution, Mr. President, to solve this problem. The terms you put out on Truth Social are not acceptable to the other side. And if you use military power to try to compel them to do it, which, of course, Lindsey Graham wants, Mark Levin wants, Mike Pompeo wants, ad infinitum, Jack Keane, of course, some of the major ones, General Kellogg, they have been begging for that for the first time. They are all crazy. Either they're crazy or they just don't care about human life. They don't care about our economy. They just have this lust to try and hurt Iran some more. I don't know what it is. I can only speculate. What I can tell you authoritatively is that they are dead flat wrong. If President Trump listens to them and the other people who are advocating this, and one can only imagine some are coming from inside of Israel, you can figure out for yourself who that is. President Trump, if he listens to them and goes back and says, all right, we're going to start bombing, then he will cause the harm to our country to increase exponentially from where it is now. We've already been harmed a lot. I've been showing you a lot. I've shown you experts in here. I've shown you across the board. I'm talking like mainstream folks, like Exxon itself, many other big names throughout the energy infrastructure. They're all telling us lights are flashing red. The sirens are going off. We're literally weeks away from an edge because we're running out of petroleum storages to offset what's being shut down out of the strait. And it's going to be a huge, you can't walk this one back. You can't manipulate this one. You can't Truth Social this one or claim that we're about to have a deal to get the price to go artificially down, because the fundamentals are still what they are. Once we get to that point, it's going to be a crash and it's going to hurt us hard. If President Trump listens to those folks in the Situation Room right now, then that will be profoundly worse, because now it won't just be a political decision that right now can still be decided and the gates can open and it'll still be a long process, as we detailed for you in the past. But it'll at least start. But if he goes military, now that it's going to destroy a lot of this infrastructure, and it will be years with an S, years before this stuff, even after the war is completed, before we can get back to anything approximating the flow that we had on the 27th of February. Art Berman tells us we may not ever get back to that. There's some things that no one knows. I don't know. He doesn't know. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, nobody knows. Because a lot of they've had shut in, the same in the Iranian side. They've had a lot of shut in process. They have to shut down their pumps and their oil wells. And no one knows what's going to happen when they turn it back on. So all it's theory. We've never seen it, certainly at this scale. And it's unlikely that it's going to work all perfectly. You can imagine it's not going to. That's where we are right now. So the only thing that President Trump should do coming out of this is to change the terms that he just put out on Truth Social and either change it to something that the Iranian side can live with and does some of these things, which, of course, will be politically impossible. Well, not impossible, very painful for him to do. Or he can continue lying. And this is the one case where I would advocate that and claim, okay, we destroyed them so much, the whole walk-away plan. So it'll take them decades to rebuild, whatever. So we're going to take our toys and go home. And then that will get the flow back open again. The worst thing he can do is to listen to the war hawks. But right now, we are in such dangerous conditions because there is no trust in us. And listen, this extends beyond here. This is a major fundamental core problem with President Trump. I'm going to show you one other thing here before we let you go today, because you see that this is not just something endemic to the Middle East. This is in his character, and it has profound impact across the board on all kinds of foreign policy issues, on trade and other things too, but especially on war and peace issues. Here he is in 2023, telling very confidently Fox News how he's going to end the Russia-Ukraine war in a day.
Putin, like Ukraine, a lot, was the apple of his eye, but he never made a move with me because he knew he couldn't do it. Remember this also with Putin. You know, they like to say, oh, Trump was softer. I was tougher in Russia than anybody in history with the sanctions and everything else.
You said you could end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Yes, I could.
How would you do that?
I know Zelensky very well. I felt he was very honorable because when they asked him about the perfect phone call that I made, he said it was indeed perfect. He said it was, he didn't even know what they were talking about. He could have grandstanded, oh, I felt threatened.
Well, that's not going to be enough for Putin to stop bombing
Ukraine.
No,
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that I know Zelensky very well and I know Putin very well, even better. And I had a good relationship, very good with both of them. I would tell Zelensky, no more, you got to make a deal. I would tell Putin, if you don't make a deal, we're going to give them a lot. We're going to give them more than they ever got if we have to. I will have the deal done in one day. One day.
Yeah, one day. We're 16 months in. One day turned into a first 100 days. And then he said, I was just joking. I wasn't being serious. Okay. And then it turned into 4 months, 6 months. And now then it's just off the table. Now he's not even trying. So, where is the trust from the Ukraine side? Where is the trust from the Russian side? Where's the trust from the European side? Trump said he was going to come in. He said, I would tell Zelensky that he has to bring this down to an end. Now, that lines up exactly with what Doug McGregor said on our show before President Trump inaugurated. And he said, I would advise President Trump to tell Zelensky to shut this down, that either he does it on his own or we're going to do it for him. And we're going to stop all of our support, et cetera, so that you have to bring it to an end. He never did it. Instead, he changed the conditions and terms and, you know, said a bunch of stuff like, you know what, I'm going to sell a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to sell Ukraine a bunch of stuff. And I think they call it the Pearl Program, where we would, where European countries would buy our stuff and then sell it too. So he did not do what he said. He lied. He told you, the American people, he told the Ukrainians, he told the Europeans that he was going to shut this thing down. One day, we're going to have it open. And instead, he just kept on making money for the elites. And the war hawks made them happy. The industrial complex, military-industrial congressional complex, trough continues on. They don't care who pays for it. They don't care if Ukraine pays for it themselves or it comes from European countries. They could care less. As long as somebody's paying for it and it's going to keep in the trough going. Trump quit trying. He quit trying. And then this claim here, Putin would have been afraid of me. Putin wouldn't have done that if I'd have been in charge. Well, Putin is in charge. You are in charge and he has done nothing to stop anything. So he is definitely not afraid of you. And now here we're sitting as we're making this video on the 29th of May. Russia has already warned and given advance warning to both Secretary of State Marco Rubio, as well as all the other Europeans, and publicly, that some big, huge strike is coming on Kiev, possibly within days. We'll see if they actually manifest it or not, but that's what they have claimed. Do you see any frightening, any scared positions from the Russian side, that he's afraid of President Trump? Have you seen President Trump do anything? Has he made a declaration that you will not do that? You will go no further. You know, that's not going to happen. He hadn't even addressed it. Who's running that show? Who's running the show between the U.S. and Israel? This morning, Israeli press is saying that the Israeli Defense Forces are moving north of the Litani River in Lebanon, the very place where the Iranians said, you have to stop all of that or there's no deal. They went further than they had ever gone before, further than they'd ever even talked about going before. It used to be established up to the Litani River. Now they're going forward to that. Who's in charge of that deal? Is there any trust anywhere there? President Trump keeps saying all these things. He does none of them. And now then this war could expand because President Putin doesn't trust anything President Trump says. And they wanted all these negotiated deals all the time, all during the Biden administration, but also during the 16 months of President Trump's term, and nothing has happened. So he has no trust in anything coming out of Washington. So he's now going to do whatever he thinks he needs to do on the ground in Ukraine, and God forbid, but quite possibly, we've shown you Ambassador Polyansky, the Russian ambassador to the OSCE, the European organization, they may strike into Europe as a deterrent to stop the fighting war here. President Trump never did it. He couldn't do it. He said he would, he didn't do it. So now then Russia's going to take matters into their own hands, and that could expand the war beyond the borders of Ukraine, and God only knows what could happen here. All of this because not one word out of President Trump's mouth can be taken at face value, period. This is a critical, huge point for our country and an enormous point of vulnerability. Nobody trusts us. Nobody believes a word. Therefore, we can't get any kind of a negotiated deal because who's going to trust us unless we start giving stuff up first? That's the only thing that could resurrect and could salvage this disaster is if we start giving stuff first. I don't know that President Trump has it in him to do that. It's the right thing. It's the logical thing. It's the thing that would be America first, because I'm going to put the needs of the country above my own personal needs. And if that means I have to sacrifice my arrogance and hubris, I'll do that if it's going to save the country. I know what a mockery that is to say that Trump actually does care about the people of America, but that's where we are. So if we don't make some changes really fast, then this whole war in the Middle East could blow up. And again, even kicking the can down the road now, then you can see from the Iranian side, that might not work either, because they may be saying, hey, we're going to take direct action. If your blockade doesn't come off, we may force the matter. So that decision could be taken out of President Trump's hands too. One could imagine that claim, that soundbite is probably in the discussion in the Situation Room as we speak right now. We'll see what's going to happen with that. We'll see what's going to happen in Europe. That could explode in our faces too. And President Trump will be shown to be powerless in a time when he had enormous credibility of the United States, enormous reputation. He could have done what he said. He could have listened to Doug McGregor and ended the Ukraine war when he first came into office. And within 3 to 6 months, it would have come to an end. It would have been an ugly end, but it would have been an end. No one else would have died, and that situation would now be off the table. Now it'd be in the recovery phase. This war should never have happened. We had a deal in his hand, a golden opportunity that was better than the Obama deal, and genuinely so, and he threw it in the trash. So now who's going to believe anything he says? That's why this is so important. Every time he fails to keep his word, to do what he said, we get in more and more trouble. And these troubles are building up kind of an above, and he still has the facade that everything's fine. I haven't looked today, but the stock market seems to be going at all-time record because these manipulating statements that he makes, they're thinking, oh, yay, it's going good. The price of oil comes down. That's a mirage. It's not real. As all these people are telling you, it's about to all come crashing down. And this may be our last chance to avoid the worst of the crash. I think it's too late to avoid some kind of a crash. We just have to hope that it's not too bad, because if he keeps going down what he's done, if he keeps lying to the American people and he keeps lying to our adversaries, then this crash is going to be significant. We're going to keep an eye on it. We're going to be back in about 23 minutes from now, where Nima Al-Khorshid is going to come give us what is the word. What are the Iranian side saying? He's great because he has a lot of contacts inside of Iran. Of course, he can read the Iranian press in ways that we can't. So he's going to have some great points to put here. That's going to be at 12:30 p.m. on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive, and we'll see you shortly. Don't forget to tell your friends, the ones that love to listen to podcasts. Get them to add Daniel Davis Deep Dive to their podcast list. They need to know what you know. They can get it to where they already get their podcast. You just got to tell them.